this morning before His word. Father, we thank You that You are in control. You deserve all the glory and honor and praises. Father, we thank You that we could get together like this. Different people, different races, different culture, different language. But it does not matter, Lord, because we are one in Christ. And we come in Your presence this morning. We pray, Lord, that You speak to our heart this morning. Enlighten us with Your word. Speak to us, Lord, that we will hear from You. And we will be able to magnify Your name. Thank You, Father, for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. As you are standing, I want you to open to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. Chapter 7. When I was praying about this morning, the Lord gave me an impression of what heaven is going to be like. Many of us think that, okay, it's going to be our group of people, you know, we will be worshipping Him the way that we always do worship. But let's look at a small glimpse of heaven. Look to what we are going to be and what we are going to be doing today in the future. Revelation chapter 7 verses 9 to 10. These are the words of Apostle John. And John says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language. Every nation, tribe, people and language. Standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Praise God. Father, we pray that You open our hearts to receive Your word this morning. Let the Holy Spirit pierce into our hearts. Give us a glimpse of what heaven is going to be like, where we are all going to be worshipping before the King and Kings and Lord of Lords. We pray that You bless this word. Lord, encourage us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Before you sit, can you shake your neighbor's hand and say, I'm going to listen to the word of God today. Amen. I'm going to listen to the word of God today. Amen. Hallelujah. Please be seated in the presence of God. What a wonderful time that we have together on this. For those who are visitors, let me tell you, this is what you are going to see every fifth Sunday of the month. So be sure of that great joy of togetherness. I love it. I love the way we are worshipping this morning, and I thank God for it. I want to very quickly, we are in time, and so I took a few more extra minutes, and so I want to, the Lord, as I was praying for this meeting this morning, many times we think of heaven is going to be our people, the way we worship, in our language. You know, language is a big thing, especially in our culture, in our country, which has got multiple languages. And we think, you know, we'll be worshipping God in our language. And but truly, let me tell you, people from every language, every nation, they will all worship in a way that they can understand and God can understand in one language. Amen. Amen. You know, the confusion of languages happened at the Tower of Babel. But God is going to destroy that confusion. There won't be any more confusion when we are in the presence of God. We just open our mouth and we will be speaking in the language, the heavenly language. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So my aim this morning is that we need to strive for unity in the name of Christ. Under the banner of Christ, because He has died for the whole world. He has not died for one people. He has died for the whole world. And we as the children of God should strive for that unity. God wants us to be united. Every moment, this was the prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. John chapter 17, if you go to the latter verses, that Jesus makes only one prayer. And the prayer is, God, You make them one as we are one. Hallelujah. Make them one as we are one. This is the heartbeat of God. And so today I know that God is rejoicing when we are worshipping God together. Amen. This morning, very quickly, let me go into this verse and give you a description of what John is speaking here. There are some things that I want to bring before you that you should understand how and what is going to be happening in heaven. Now, let me give you a quick background. This is a group of people who have gone through the great tribulation, and they have come out and they have come triumphant and they have received the salvation, and these people are all standing in the presence of God. You know, if you read chapter 7, Revelation chapter 7 and verse 14, we know who these people are. They are the ones who came through the great tribulation and was washed their robes, made them white with the blood of the Lamb. They have become white. Their robes have become white, not because of their righteousness, but because of their trust in Jesus and the fact that His blood has cleansed away the sins of the people, so they have become righteous before God. Yes. You know, they had to pass through a tribulation to understand that salvation belongs only to God. So let me give you a few things about this verse. Number one, we look at the number. Do you know that there is no number mentioned here? It speaks about a great multitude that no one could count. People could not even count the number of people that are standing before the great throne of God, before the Lamb. And they are all standing before the throne and before the Lamb. It was a number of people that there is no count in it. John does not even begin to attempt 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He never, attempts to make a count, because there's innumerable people. You know, this speaks to me about the grace of God. Why do I say about the grace of God? You know, when the church started on the day of Pentecost, and that's what we'll be hearing later today. You know, God poured out His grace that people from every language who were gathering in Jerusalem, they came across the grace of God. And on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people received Christ in their hearts. Yes. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. We read that in Acts chapter 2 verse 41. 3,000 people were saved. They were added to the church. In fact, when we come to the last part of chapter 2, it says God was adding daily to the church as many as should be saved. Every day, God was adding to the church. Hallelujah. Now then we come to Acts chapter 4, verse 4. We say that 5,000 more people were added to the church. So the numbers started increasing. And when you continue the book of Acts, you know, nobody is then putting a number to the people who are getting added. It says multitude, a huge number. They came and added. They were adding to the church. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, God is saving people that we cannot number them. All over the world, God is saving people that we cannot put a number on. Today, as I'm standing here, I'm telling you that the hand of God is going all across the world and is bringing people, and they are numerous. Without number. Hallelujah. This is the grace of God. Do you know why I said it's the grace of God? Because God came in the form of Jesus Christ to save the whole humanity. He wants everybody to be part of that great number. And that is why He died. So God saving multitudes of people. Today, why is Jesus not coming back? The answer is found in 2 Peter. Apostle Peter writes it in his second epistle, chapter 3, verse number 9. It says like this: the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some think slackness, but is His long suffering towards us, not willing that anyone should perish, all should come to repentance. Do you see that? God wants everybody to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And when the people will be gathered together, it's only the grace of God that is revealed in the huge number of people who are going to be coming. So the first thing I told you was the number, their number that could not be counted. Let's go to the second part of this. What fascinated me was their nationalities. Now look there. Did it say that they came from Jews or Gentiles or from the US or from the East? Or it says they came from every nation, every tribe, every people, and every language. Hallelujah. There is no racial, economic, social, national distinction of the people who are coming there. Wherever the gospel is preached, where people have been saved, they are part of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. There are Gentiles in the crowd, there are Jews in the crowd. People have been saved. And so when you look here in chapter 7, the first 9 verses speaks about, first 8 verses speaks about the Jews that have been saved. But then as you come from verse 9, speaks about the grace towards the Gentiles in the world. Amen. Let me tell you that God's grace is extended towards everyone in this world. He wants everyone to be saved.
Yes.
He does not want anyone to perish. Yes. He wants everyone to receive that eternal life. So I want to challenge each and every one of you today. God has given you the responsibility to let your neighbor, your friend know that Jesus is the Savior of the whole world.
Right.
And you need to let them know that there is salvation through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Now let me come to the third part of this, their nature. You know, you see this multitude not sitting down. We are all sitting down, you know, with our shoes and all that, you know, comfortably. You know, there the people don't even sit down. They don't say, oh, pastor, my back is aching, you know, my legs are tired. I cannot stand. No, 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 nobody is making any complaint. Am I wrong? Look at your Bibles. Does it say anybody was seated there?
No.
What does it say? Everybody standing before the throne and before the Lamb. The only person that was sitting is the Lord Himself seated on His throne. Hallelujah. Think about that, brothers. When your legs get tired after 10 minutes, oh, pastor, that worship leader made me stand all this time. Oh, I wish I can sit down and relax and just close my eyes and visualize. No, no, no. God wants you to be active in worship.
Yes.
Not only you should stand, you should also dance, I'm telling you. Let your hands go out and worship the Lord. That is what God wants from you. Amen. Thank you, brother. I like that. Amen. Hallelujah. What is the nature? Look at the nature of these people. Number one, they are clothed with white robes.
Yes.
You know what the white robes signify? The righteousness that they have received through Jesus Christ. The grace of God and the righteousness of God has been transmitted into their lives. They have been clothed by the righteous blood of Jesus. And so, they all look like wearing white robes. So, some of our dear ones are wearing white. No, not too many today. I saw the other day everyone was wearing white and I was glad. I was thinking today a lot more people will be wearing white. But doesn't matter. But you know, there it's not outward clothes that matter. The fact that you are not looking with a dirty, disheveled clothes, but you are being white by the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
When Jesus died, the walls of separation between peoples have been broken, so everybody looking the same.
That's right.
Everybody looking the same with the robes, white robes. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Speaking about the blood of Jesus. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Number two, it says that they were a victorious people. Why they were victorious? Because they were holding palm branches in their hand. Do you know who holds a palm branch? The victorious soldiers are the ones who used to hold palm branches back in those days. And today, the people are standing before the throne. They are holding palm branches, showing that they have been victorious. Today, you need to be victorious in your walk. So one day that you will stand with a palm branch and declare, Lord, thank you for the victory that you have given me. I am more than a conqueror through Christ who died for me. I can do everything through Jesus who has done all this for me. Amen. The third thing, what do they say? They are singing about their redemption. Look at verse number 10. They are saying, they are crying with a loud voice. I am telling to those of our brothers who decide never to open your mouth. Sometimes I feel tearing up my hair and saying, brother, open your mouth, say hallelujah. And they will say, hallelujah. Please, everybody look to verse number 10. What they were doing? They were crying with a loud voice. What do you mean loud? It means loud. What they were crying, what they were saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and the Lamb. So you see God, the Father seated on the throne. You see the Lamb of God, the Son of God sitting at His right hand. They are declaring that salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb who is seated on the throne. Amen.
Amen.
They are singing the redemption. You know what? They praise the Lord. So this is how the future looks like.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Do you know what Jesus prayed? Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So let me come to the key part of my sermon today. How do you strive for the unity as we allow God's kingdom on the earth? Can you open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4? I have a few minutes before me. I am in time, so nobody needs to look at the watch. We are going exactly in time. How are we striving for unity? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. I will give you a few practical takeaways that you need to note down. If you have a pen and paper, please note down. These are the ways how you can strive for unity. Apostle Paul is urging the people here, Ephesians chapter 4, to walk in unity. Look at verse number 4, verses 1 onwards. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, means I beg you, I plead with you, I implore you, please, please, please. In today's words, this is what Apostle Paul is saying. Please do this. What? You walk worthy of the calling by which you have been called. You need to walk worthy of the high call of God. God has called you into a kingdom of light, separated you from darkness, gave you a name, gave you a family, gave you a hope, gave you a future, gave you everything that you need. Washed away your sins, brought you before the throne of God. He says you need to walk worthy of the calling which you have called. What do you mean by walk worthy of the high calling? It involves our entire lifestyle. How do you live your life? A worthy walk is our lifestyle that is consistent with our dignified position in Jesus Christ. We are not an ordinary person today. We are an ambassador of God. So what does Apostle Paul says? How do you walk? He gives five virtues. I want you to write this down. Five virtues that each of us need in our lives as we strive for the unity. What are the five virtues? Number one, it says, walk with all lowliness and gentleness. Lowliness means humility. Be humble. Dear brothers and sisters, don't be proud. Don't be proud about your looks. Don't be proud about your job. Don't be proud about your children. Don't be proud about your car. Don't be proud of your life. Be humble. Number one, humility. What is the number two? Gentleness. Be gentle and kind to other people. Be gentle. Let that be your attitude in your life. Number three, it says, with long suffering, that is the old time Bible language for patience. Be patient with one another. Don't blurt out. You know, you see so many faults in people. More than that, you see faults in your pastor too. You see many faults in me. I am not a perfect person. Be patient, brothers. God is working in me. One day I will get there. And that will be in heaven. Where I'll be perfect. I'll be perfect one day in heaven. But please, have patience. So the third virtue is patience. And then it says, bearing with one another in love. Loving other people just as Christ loved us.
Yes.
Not because they are worthy, but because they are unworthy, we need to love them more. And the fifth one is peace. Be at peace with everyone.
Yes.
Don't go fighting with those people.
Amen.
Don't use your words or your talk. We need to have these five virtues engraved in our life, because that is how we demonstrate Jesus as the call that He has called us. And with all the virtues, we will have peace with one another. And then Apostle Paul goes down to say that there are seven elements that unite together in the church. We are one body, We have one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, yes, who has come in our hearts. We have one hope of our calling. We have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all. There are seven elements that should unite us in our church. No matter from where you are, we are all one in Christ today.
Yes.
Amen. We are all brothers and sisters in the family of God. And this spiritual unity should be produced as we are one in the Spirit. God has worked in us that we should work to preserve that unity that God has. We are one in Christ. And that should be a practical reality of our lives as well. Let me quickly give you two verses. I'm not going to preach on that, but I'm just giving you as a reference. Number one is Apostle Paul's to the first epistle to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10. Look at your Bible. It says, Paul saying, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment."
Yes.
Let me also give you one more verse. Peter, 1 Peter, chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Finally," Apostle Peter is saying, "finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing." What a powerful. Brothers, are you listening? Are you all listening to me? We need to endeavor, strive to keep that bond of peace. I want to talk to every brother and sister here. You don't be the one to cause division in your church. Don't gossip, don't slander, don't backbite, don't speak anything wrong about somebody else. If you have anything, go directly to that person, confront and ask him or her, "Did you say that? Did you do that?" Don't gossip and speak bad about other people and bring disunity in the church. Because God wants us to strive for the unity with one another. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Take a lift of your hands and say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Strive for that unity. Strive for that unity. Have compassion with one another. Be tender hearted. Be courteous. Bless people who curse you. Because you are called to inherit a blessing from God. One day God is going to bless us so much that there will be no room to get the blessings of God. Please don't take away. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to close this message with a thought. I know you can all relate to that, because I'm going to speak to you from the game of football. We are stronger together. And I want to give some life lessons from the game of football. You know, football is oneness in action. I want you to hear me very, very carefully what I'm going to speak for the next few minutes. Football is oneness in action. When played well, it is unity in display. Players come from different races, from different backgrounds. But when they get on the field, they harmonize their differences towards a common goal. They do that because the goal is larger than their individual preferences. Praise God. The goal is higher and bigger than your individual preferences that you have. The moment a player's individuality becomes more important than the team, he's of no use to the team. Number two, if an individual loses his skills, his unique skills and talents, he's also no use to the team. Praise God. God has given us all unique skills and talents. And we have to work together as a team, because there's a higher purpose that God has put us. Hallelujah. Today God has a team on this earth. His kingdom he is building on this earth. It is made about people from all races and tribes. African American, Anglo, Hispanic, Asian, Middle East, other people and culture, God is making up a team for people of all nations, of all cultures, of all languages. Hallelujah. You need to make a distinction because you're unique. Your background is unique.
Yes.
You need to contribute your uniqueness to the team.
Yes.
You should not let out the individual gifts that you've given us. You need to work together because the agenda that God has is to expand His kingdom.
Yes. Yes.
Let your kingdom come.
Yes.
God is building His kingdom on this earth.
Yes.
You know, He has given us a playbook. You know what the playbook God has given us?
Yes.
The Bible. Yes. This is the playbook for His agenda. And what is the result when we unite together? We bring glory unto His name.
Yes.
That is what we are supposed to do. When a football team is united and they play together, they score more touchdowns and they score more goals. Hallelujah. When people, the Church of Jesus Christ, we all get together, we will score touchdowns for the kingdom of God. Who is our enemy? Satan and his forces. We are fighting a battle. We are in a play field where we have to win the victory. And that's only enabled when we are embracing the oneness that God has given us. God wants us to live by His rules, not by our rules. We need to know what the rules of God are as we celebrate our differences and live together for the glory of God.
Yes.
When we do that, let me close with this thought. And I know Pastor is going to take up from the next sermon. When we are in one accord,
yes,
something beautiful is going to happen.
Yes.
Can we all just close our eyes together? Can everyone close your eyes together?
Yes.
We have to be in unity and in one accord. And we will see the power of God displayed in our life. Every eye is closed. Can you just make yourself before God and say, Lord, I want to be united. I want to not bring disunity in the church, Lord. Lord, let not be an agent of Satan who is always trying to, Lord, sow discord among the brothers and sisters. Let me, Lord, be on your side as I bring unity in the church. That we can do together great things for your kingdom. Can we just dedicate our hearts to the Lord at this moment? Everybody, can you all stand up in the presence of God? As we are all going to be going into our second part of our worship time. Every eye is closed. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to surrender your hearts to the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to be in unity before the presence of God. I invite the worshiping team to come forward as you set up your places and we are going to go into worship. Hallelujah.